I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Greg Bordinaro from the Hartford Business Journal joining us here in Brian and Company. Greg, good morning. How are you? Oh, hold on. There you go. Sorry about that.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Oh, great. No, thanks, Greg. Hey, listen, so has Starbucks actually unionized here in Connecticut?
Yeah, so actually two Starbucks locations, one in Woodbridge and Hamden recently, their baristas voted to join the union. It's called the Starbucks Workers United, which now has 10,500 baristas at 480-plus stores across
the United States. The company fought this big time, though, too, didn't they?
Yeah, so this has been a national movement. So two Starbucks recently joined the union. Joined this union in Connecticut, and there's five overall. There was one in West Hartford that was the first, I believe it was last year. So now five of them enjoyed the Starbucks. The corporate has fought this off, but the workers have gone through and gone with it. We took this story and kind of looked at, okay, so what are the unionization trends, you know, sort of across Connecticut? And unionization activity and membership is actually up in Connecticut, where it's been flat nationally. Last year, there was 15.9% of employed residents who were union members and 16.9% who were represented by unions, and 272,000 Connecticut workers represented by unions, which was the highest mark since 2020. So unionization activity is up in Connecticut. Last year, it was flat nationally. So unions are starting to make a comeback. And you know, this was kind of a national movement with the Biden administration was pushing and supporting unions. So that, you know, it's definitely had an impact in Connecticut, which has always been sort of a unionized state. Although, you know, if you look over time, obviously unionization membership, if you look back 30, 40 years, is down from where it was at its peak levels.
Right. We're talking with Greg Bordinaro from the Hartford Business Journal here on the Connecticut Business Blend. You know, Fuel Cell Energy is a Connecticut-based company. We at Odyssey have a little bit of experience with reverse stock splits. It did not work for our company, but they're in trouble. I think they're either considering a reverse stock split, and their questions are two. One is, can you explain to people what one is? And then number two, isn't this just sort of a frantic way to avoid bankruptcy? Shouldn't they just maybe file for bankruptcy?
Yeah, so reverse stock, any company that does a reverse stock split, it's not a good sign. You know, it's usually a sign of some sort of financial troubles. So their issue was they're traded on the NASDAQ. They're a publicly traded company. In April, NASDAQ informed them that their stock price was trading below $1 for more than 30 days, which puts you sort of on the watch list. And NASDAQ is basically threatening to delist them unless they can get their stock price over $1 by the end of November. So their strategy to be able to do that is to do a reverse stock split, which is, you know, it's kind of complicated, but kind of what happens is sort of each outstanding share of a company is basically converted into a fraction of a share, and that boosts kind of the overall stock price. We talked to an independent analyst who said this move will probably allow the company to get its stock price above $1, but it won't counteract sort of the bigger forces. You know, fuel cell industry has been an industry that struggled basically from its inception. It is a form of clean energy, but it's expensive, and the customer base has been limited so far. That's what Fuel Cell Energy is faced, and they're an important company to Connecticut because we've invested, you know, over $10, $20 million in this company in various grants and loans. So Connecticut has tried to fuel the fuel cell industry, no pun intended, but it's just been a tough industry. Pratt & Whitney used to have a fuel cell division, which it sold and spun off. So it really is a tough industry to try to make it, and they haven't been profitable, so it's a struggle.
Well, the bottom line is, if they do the reverse split and it trades below a dollar again, they're out. They're out of options.
Yeah, they'll be listed, and yeah, I don't want to predict what will happen next, but you know, most people could assume it's not going to be anything good.
You know, I want to jump around a little bit here with Greg Bordinaro from the Hartford Business Journal and the Connecticut Business Blend to New Haven now. Why would a company pay $40 million to not move into an office space?
Because it's cheaper to not move in than it would be to move in over the long run. So this is this was kind of a big deal. Kind of went under the radar. So this is our Venus Incorporated, which is it's a company that actually I think has very big growth potential. They've raised hundreds of millions of dollars in outside investments. They've also had key partnerships with big pharma. So they're trying to develop drugs for various diseases like breast cancer and prostate cancer. And there is very much high hopes for this company. So they basically signed 160,000 square foot lease in this new bioscience tower that's basically debuting this year. It's a 525,000 square feet
foot
life science. Yeah, it's a beautiful building developed by Wynn Stanley, which is a well-known company. They were one of the first tenants to sign on. Significant space when you're talking 160,000 out of 525,000 square feet. But they've decided now, basically at the last minute, that they're pulling out of the lease. They're going to have to pay the $41 million fee. So the landlord is not going to be, totally broke by this. But it's a kind of a big deal for kind of the life sciences industry in general, showing, how hard it is to grow the presence of a life science industry. Right now they have about 66,000 square feet in Science Park. They were going to keep that space and add this additional space. So you're talking about, they're deciding that they don't no longer need about 100,000 square feet plus of space, partly because of, they say, remote work. They say they're hiring more people from around the country who are doing remote positions. And overall, New Haven is a growing bioscience cluster. But if you look at the overall job growth, actually it's been negative job growth over the last few years. So it's really... I think New Haven has promise with bioscience, but it's really a slow grind in terms of really making a difference and pushing it into a major cluster like they have in Boston.
Yeah. Well, listen, they got $40 million to buy them some time to find another tenant.
Yeah, I think the landlord will be okay.
Yeah. Listen, lastly, just real quickly, two manufacturers here in Connecticut, I think it was private equity who took them over. When something like that happens, sometimes they'll load it up with debt and then sell it, or sometimes they'll really try to grow the business. I don't know. Like, is it a good you can get into the specifics, but is it a good or a bad thing when something like that happens?
I mean, for Connecticut, it depends. I think these particular deals are probably not. They're not. I think they're buying healthy companies because private equity still has a lot of money sitting in the sidelines. I think these are two healthy companies that they purchased: Hops and Mozer in Durham, which is a well-known brand in Connecticut, and Gem Manufacturing in Waterbury was another one involved. I think these are two healthy companies, but the bigger problem is we lose sort of local control. They may have a local management team, but at the end of the day, these private equity firms, most of them are sitting in New York City or California, and a lot of decisions in terms of bottom line decisions, employee counts, they're not being made locally anymore. So I think that's the bigger problem for Connecticut. If they're coming in to scoop up an unhealthy company, that company may have gone out of business anyways. So it's kind of different ways to look at it. But remember last year, Command Corp, which is a big Connecticut manufacturer, they were also bought out by private equity. So this is a big trend. Overall, you do worry about it long term for Connecticut because it is a high cost state. The business environment here isn't as attractive as maybe it is down south. So what does this mean long term for jobs in Connecticut?
Yeah. And then I was saying the NFL might let private equity buy teams and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money in that space that needs to get spent at some point. Greg, we got to run. Great job as always.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Greg Bordenero.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.